Thank you very much. And I'd like to say thank you very much for your church here who contributed to the refugees coming out of Syria and other countries. And I actually picked up the brochure you have on your table. And that picture at the front, I was there last November. I want to see it firsthand about the refugees. Because you hear there are only young kids coming, there are no family coming, and I want to see it firsthand. And so last November I was in Serbia. That one picture is actually from an Italian guy. I met him in Serbia in a city close to the Serbian-Croatian border. And we were putting up tents, and we were helping them to come through. And they were not just refugees from Syria. I almost mixed these two up, Serbia and Syria, sounds so similar. And I was there not as a tourist. I was there for 2 weeks. Sometimes you see pictures, I just saw a picture, someone was for 10 days in Macedonia helping refugees, and then he took a three-week tourist trip during Europe. I saw more pictures about London and Paris and one country, a town in Switzerland than for Macedonia. But I was there for 2 weeks helping, putting up tents. And one morning we asked the little children, I want to do that afterwards, but I have to say that we asked little children to draw some pictures. These are little children like we have here, 4-year-olds. And do you know what a girl was drawing? She was drawing a picture about the boat, a boat that was sinking, a boat where her relatives were drowning that day. 2 months later, I heard another OM worker worked at that same city, and she had also coloring books for kids. And this was a 5-year-old girl, and the worker asked her, "Where's your mom?" "She's not here. She died." "Where's your dad?" "She died." "Who takes care of you?" Can you imagine all of your moms who have a 5-year-old daughter or a boy? And the answer was, "My 11-year-old cousin takes care of me." But there's and I would encourage you to continue on contributing to the refugee, even if it's, the government doesn't match it anymore. I heard one story, and they're not just coming from Syria. Actually, UN declared people from Syria, from Iraq, and Afghanistan, they are declared increased legal refugees. And I met a lot of Afghans who actually spoke English. And I heard an amazing story. 2 Afghans from Afghanistan, they came to Europe. They ended up in northern Germany. I have no clue how they ended up there. Muslims who were already searching God. And you know, some of the people in these worlds, they have actually a computer. They can search on an internet. And they came in contact with some of our workers in northern Germany, in Hamburg. And these 2 men are now brothers in Christ. Yeah, I didn't want to mention this. I want to bring a message first, but because your pastor encouraged me. I heard a story last June. I mean, who never heard about ISIS? Or what is the attitude toward ISIS? This is the most evil organization that ever happened. Now, if you go in church history, and I will not go there, something similar happened in a country that I know quite well, Austria. But there's an ISIS fellow, a fighter, instructor. He had a vision of Jesus. And that happens. And guess what he did? He went on his computer to confirm his belief in Allah, his belief in Islam. And quote, quote, by accident, that ISIS fighter came across a Christian website. Wow. There are Christian websites out there. And his whole belief in Allah, his whole cause. And he was not just a nominal Muslim, and there are thousands of nominal Muslims. He was a radical, an extreme. He was an ISIS fighter. To make this so short, he went over across the border into Turkey, and there he accepted Christ. And he is now a brother of Christ. Praise the Lord. That's why, I think I had to mention that last night at the dinner table, like, basically, my story is I love Jesus. And I want to make his love known. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world except. And then we make this list. Oops. No. God so loved the church, including everybody. I have to do what I plan to do. So today, what is today? Today is 2 weeks after Easter. Remember that? Actually, one week after Easter in my home country. By the way, I'm from Switzerland. Some people wondered. I have actually something from Switzerland with me. This is a Swiss Army pen. Did ever any one of you saw a Swiss Army pen? No, it is a combination of a pen and a Swiss Army knife with at least three. I can open it up. And it turns into a knife. I grew up in Switzerland. Actually, 1 week after Easter in Switzerland, we call it White Sunday. But I think this year we have to call it 2 weeks after Easter, White Sunday. I was just thinking about how much Jesus spent 40 days with his disciples after Easter morning and Ascension. And I know we here in Canada, we have no clue. When is Ascension? It's a Thursday, it's 40 days after Easter. In Europe, that is an official holiday. In Europe, Pentecost, Sunday and Monday is an official holiday. And we lose that somehow. And I was thinking, looking at the passage that talks about the disciple of Jesus after Easter. And when I prepared, the Lord brought me to a passage in the Gospel of John. I had no clue. I didn't talk to your pastor. Hey, what are you preaching right now? I will not preach the same thing. And I discovered after I prepared this, he's preaching, and as you know, Gospel of John. We were reminded we should read Gospel of John. And what I like to do is, I think I switched this around. I'm flexible. I said I'm always flexible. I am. Yeah. Gospel of John 21 tells one of the few stories we have recorded where we see Jesus and disciples after Easter, before Ascension, obviously. In Book of Acts, there's a little different story, but here I want to, basically, I called it, life really does not matter unless Jesus is the center of my life. I want to repeat that again. I think I will repeat that about 10 times. Life really does not matter if Jesus is not the center of life. And positive said, life only matters if Jesus is the center of my life. And we Canadian, we have a wonderful time now. We don't have to worry about who wins the Stanley Cup or the Grey Cup? No, the Stanley Cup, because no Canadians, except a few Winnipeggers, are still playing. And I know the Grey Cup will come to Winnipeg again in June, because Jonathan Toews will win. Now, I made a prediction. It doesn't matter to me. I love sports, but it's not addiction. But sports can be addiction, can be a god. I know many people in my church, they spend more money on season tickets for two losing teams, Blue Bombers and Jets. Life does not really matter. Life does only matter if Jesus is the center of my life. For me, a disciple is not something... Some people can be formula. For me, a disciple of Jesus Christ is someone who lives under the lordship of Jesus Christ, where Jesus is the boss. What would a 66 and 69-year-old couple do normally? They would retire, enjoy their grandchildren, and do nothing. And what do the Kerbals? My wife, I shouldn't mention, I hope that is not on tape anywhere, that I revealed my wife's age. Nobody, the climber who goes, don't tell her, I revealed my wife's age. We are 66 and 69, so and we're still working. And I will mention something about the climb. I'm all excited. In John chapter 21, we have basically five little stories within one story. And the turning point was when John, the apostle, the disciple, said, it is Jesus. But We don't come to that yet. It starts with that passage, that little story where Peter. And Peter always made decisions and people followed him. Something good, something bad. I don't know how you are as a disciple of Jesus. Are people following you good or your bad examples? Let's hope there are no bad examples to follow. But he said, let's go fishing. And I know this where we, how many go fishing in the summer? How many go fishing in the winter? Some of my grandkids, they love ice fishing. But it's more than just fishing. I have a friend. They invited me to the cabin in the White Shell, and he's addicted to fishing. And we went along. I mean, I'm not a fisherman. The only fish I was any basically a professional did was selling fish in a store, and I had to get the live fish out of the tank. But so he was, what's his name? Hardy. He was really anxious, and he felt, wow, there's no fish. Let's go somewhere else. Let's pull the line in. And guess what? I pulled my line in. And what did I have? A fish. I had about 6 fish that morning, and he had none. So he's addicted. But what does it mean when Peter said, let's go fishing again? Early, Jesus called them, be fish of men. Basically, he said, let's go back. That's the only thing we know to do. They basically abandoned their call to ministry. In John 20:21, Jesus says, just as the Father sent me in this world, I send you. So he had a clear commission. But if Jesus is not the center point, then I do whatever I want to do. But nowadays, sometimes people take their trades to different countries to be messenger of Jesus Christ. Like we call them tent makers. Sometimes in country, you don't get into country without the trade. Sometimes you have to go for some other reasons. Was it last Wednesday? Or the Wednesday? A week before, we sent out a daughter as a tent maker to Scotland. And I saw her yesterday on Skype. But that let's go fishing was, Jesus was not in charge of Peter's life. And then was the second, I call that Operation Waste. So they went fishing. And what was the result? What does the Bible say? In verse 3, they said there are a lot of the Zacchaeus disciples, and 2 of them, we don't know who it is. We will come with you. And they went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Exactly. I call it Operation Waste. And I ask myself, I wrote that in my notes, how many churches have to put a sign out, Operation Waste? We catch nothing. We accomplish nothing. Sometimes we spiritualize, or I heard the church say, we are feeding other churches' church. But sometime, when I think about the second coming of Jesus, and we heard in one of the songs, do you know, I'm much more concerned about the first coming of Jesus because millions of people still have no clue that Jesus came in this world. And some people say, hey, you have to have your theology right. The rapture happened this and this and this. And early in my life, I made a joke with my wife because my wife and I, we had different theology. I said, I will be 3.5 years ahead of you and I will tell you how heaven will be. And now my theology got simplified. Jesus said, I'm coming back. And Jesus said, you don't know when, and you should be my witnesses until I come back. And that's it. But there's many places in this world where people still sit in darkness. And darkness, light. Where light is strong. If I say light is strong in Canada, perhaps some of you say, no, it isn't. It is much stronger in many other places. But where light is darkness is strong, light is weak. I lived for 10 years in Austria, a country with about 7-8 million people, 0.5% believers of Jesus Christ. 0.5% And 85% of the population practice to some degree, more or less, in an occultic. One example as example. I'm not sure when my time is up. Your pastor said I can't do as long as much. But I will be done before 2 o'clock. You don't have to worry. No, no. Otherwise, your pastor stand up and I have to finish. In Austria, on Palm Sunday, in the Catholic Church, the people bring, quote, quote, palm branches to the church, to the Catholic Church. And these palm branches getting blessed by the Catholic priest. And then they go home and put these blessed branches in the furnace, in the stove. And the smoke of these blessed branches should get rid of bad spirits. This is a civilized country in Austria where they make actually more money than the average Canadian. They have culture. If you study classical music, you know Austria. And they believe in stuff like this. This is just one of many examples. I have a question. Who can tell me on which continent is Montenegro? Any one of you ever heard about the country of Montenegro? Yeah, I'll leave you out. Anyone? Okay, which continent, your gentleman in the very back, which continent is Montenegro? Not sure. Okay. South America? Okay. Europe. Someone tried to convince me it's in the Caribbean. It's in Europe. And what do you know about Montenegro? Montenegro has a population of, basically of Winnipeg, 650,000, 700,000 people. And do you know how many Christians they have in Montenegro? 150. Not 150,000. 150 believers. And that's why we in OM, we are involved. We're not going in countries. We're in certain countries, I want to mention them, where there's so many Christians. We're going in countries where there's very few Christians. And Operation Waste. And then the next one, when Jesus said, throw your net to the other side, they had a big catch. I had an experience quite a few years ago. I was leading an OM team in Austria. A boys team, they were basically between 16 and 18, and we sensed that darkness. We sensed resistance. I don't know if you ever, when you witness to people, you sense a wall, a spiritual wall. And we sensed that. And then at the end of these 3 weeks, and I said boys only, for 3 weeks, we lived in a tent, we did a wash in a creek, we did our own cooking. All your moms, do you know when your boy, your 16, 18-year-old with little money does his own cooking? There's not much. Actually, a Dutch fellow on the team afterwards said, this was semi-involuntary fasting. That's what he called it. And I had a crazy idea. If people start to get to know me, and some of you got to know me last night at supper a little bit, I have crazy ideas. And I had a crazy idea. Let's take some of our tracts and put it in the Roman Catholic Church on the book table. They have tables which, how do you pray better to Mary and all that stuff that the Roman Catholic Church teaches. And I felt, hey, I had 2 prayer requests and I did that. I put a stack of tract like this and said, Lord, let the priests not move them away. And then I had a secondary prayer request, Lord, perhaps a very weak faith kind of. I said, Lord, let someone perhaps pick that up. That was in July. The following fall, I got engaged. Or my wife got engaged and I got engaged. So that's another story. In Switzerland, it's culturally different. And the following summer, we had other teams out. And we had a team leader meeting in Vienna. And during the first coffee break, our field leader, he is a tall Dutch fellow. And he came walking towards me and he had a funny smile. You know, sometimes your teacher has a funny smile or a hat or someone. And I felt my first reaction was, oh, I'm in trouble. And then he started with the words, last summer in Lützen, that's the city I was in. Did you left some tracts like a stack like this in the church? And then I felt better because there were still some tracts in the church. And secondly, the priest didn't got them away. And then he told me a story. A farmer I never met to this day. He was up in the mountains taking care of the sheep, the cows, just like in the Swiss movie Heidi. And in the fall, he came down the valley. He went into the Catholic Church. He picked up a tract. He ordered Babel's Correspondence course. And by the next summer, he was a Christian. Praise the Lord. Like if you do crazy stuff for Jesus, then you do experience this, that big catch. And it was because of Jesus. And Jesus knows everything. I was just thinking about that story in, once you say Acts, in John 21. Jesus knew that the disciples were there on the lake. Jesus knew that they were not fishing. It was not that they had it on the wrong side, but because Jesus was not there. Jesus realized the disciples lived a life where Jesus was not a center point. And I don't know you. Perhaps you say, oh, I'm too old for certain things that OM offers. OM is only for young people in short term. And I say, you're wrong. And I will tell a little bit OM when I'm finished. The fourth is that breakfast on the beach. That's all what I'm saying. I know I'm a Baptist and you're a Baptist, so we have a lot of things in common. Can you imagine any really church function without food? But if Jesus is in the center, this is great. In many other cultures, spending time, getting invited to people. I got invited by a Muslim in Winnipeg, and I got invited by a Muslim in Istanbul, Turkey, for once it was a drink, another was coffee and cheesecake. Food is important. But then there's this big question that Jesus, in his conversation with, I want to say Andrew, with Peter, do you love me? We all, I would say all of us, we remember John 3:16. But it's very easy to look up another passage, 1 John 3:16. And in 16 to 18, in verse 18 it says, little children, let us not love with words or with tongue, but in deed and in truth. And it's funny, Jesus said, when Peter said, I love you, feed my sheep. And I just discovered this weekend, because I stay with Miss Brother Egley, I mean, taking care of the sheep, that is not a nice 3 o'clock afternoon job. He had to be up this morning at shortly after six. But it's always when we say we love Jesus. If I say to my wife, I love you, it's more than just words. But I remember last Valentine's Day, did I bought her flowers? No, actually not, because Monday after Valentine's Day, she left for 1 week away, and I was away for the weekend. But when we express our love to our spouses or our children, it's always, it's not just words, it's deeds. And I wrote down, perhaps today God will tell us when we say, we love you, take care of sick people. And I heard in a prayer, we have all the sick people. Take care of elderly. Take care of homeless. And then take care, also included here, of refugees. And take care of those who still did not hear the gospel. And that was, when was this? In February, I was invited by a young brother in my church. He's only 95 years old. He's my big brother. He is still serving the Lord, and he has a Bible study in his apartment. He said, would you come to the Bible study? And he told me, you cannot expect any recruits for mission. I mean, they were 80, 90, 95, 100 years old. And I said, okay, that's fine. So I did a Bible study, and afterwards I just told him very quickly, I'm going on a mission trip to Switzerland. And actually here, he's going on a mission trip to Switzerland. This is something fishy. No, there is not. In that town in Switzerland called Interlaken, there are between 50 and 100,000 Muslims. Rich Saudis, very rich Saudis, go there on vacation. And I mentioned that. I'm doing that. And then a lady came to me and I asked her, how old are you? Oh, I'm not 75 yet, she said. Okay. I mean, sometimes I don't ask people, especially ladies, how old are you? But there I felt I had to. So it turned out she's 73. She's 73 and she's coming along. So any one of you who is less than 73 years old, you cannot say, I'm too old, going on a mission trip to Switzerland, reaching out to Muslims. And these Muslims are from Saudi Arabia. In Saudi Arabia, you actually literally cannot take a Bible along. You only take your Bible on your tablet or on your cell phone. And then that city in Switzerland, we're able to share the gospel on the street. And I'm going there. Another couple from Steinbeck, close to Winnipeg. And that lady, that 73-year-old lady from Winnipeg is going. And we are there, present the gospel. Jesus wants to be the center point of my life. And that's the message I want to leave with you. Now I'd like to mention just a few things about the larger picture about OM. I think I will mention one experience I had in Turkey. And Dean knows, I fell in love with Turkey. It was not that. Suddenly I was on my computer and said, hey, I will take on Turkey as my main project. It was a result of a two-week short-term trip I did in 2007. In 2009, I was back. And we were working in it with a very small church. I mean, a very small church, perhaps 10 people or less. They had a church property. I mean, not what you think, like here. But anyway, we was a team. We divided up in five teams. Four teams did evangelism on the street. One team went to university and they ran into students and these students said, oh, we always wanted to meet Christians. Oh, you're here. Let's talk about. And the second day, the fifth team, four teams were out on the streets and one team was praying at the church. Not a typical prayer meeting that we have. Sometimes 50 minutes sharing prayer requests and 10 minutes praying. We were praying for 6 hours. And Friday night and Saturday night, we had a public service. We have a Friday night, the speaker spoke, and Saturday night, we showed them a movie. And we want to invite people. And so I prayed together. There was a lady from Hong Kong who was a Christian worker in Turkey, and we were the day before on the street together. And I prayed, Lord, praying 25 people Friday night. And she basically interrupted me. She said, you're crazy. I think she used that word. You're crazy. If we have 5 to 7 people who come across the threshold of a Protestant church, in Turkey, the evangelical churches are called Protestant churches. We jump about 10 feet off the ground. You're crazy. That was Wednesday, around 11 o'clock. I kept on praying, Lord, bring 25 people Friday night. And she said, no. If they're 5 or 7, then maybe we're jumping. Guess what happened Friday night? We were there in the lower level, and the main level, it's basically a building. The lower level was a room, and the pastor's office upstairs was the meeting place. And people started to come and started counting. Guess what? How many people showed up Friday night? 32. So God answered both of our prayers. She prayed for 7, I prayed for 25. And another question is, how many of these 32 were ladies? Any clue? How many were ladies? Pardon me? No. No. There were 30 men and 2 ladies. Because in their culture, the guy has to check out. And when a guy decides to follow Jesus, we mentioned that actually downstairs today, often the lady and the children follow, just like in Acts 16. That was an amazing experience. I have some brochures, and one of them is, especially if you're interested, and I know some of you are, because you have a climber going to the Freedom Climb. This is a story from Czech Republic, what we do frontline reaching out to sex trade workers. And the lady, her name is Natasha Schultz. Actually, she will be a speaker this coming August in Fernie, BC. So you will meet her. And actually, we got to know her with another mission. Sometimes we connect. We had another mission in Prague. We support with another mission. I knew her as an MK in Austria. And she said, hey, you should get in touch with her. It's called Light in a Sad Reality. There are 27 to 30 million sex trade workers around the world. they are really slaves. And if you read this, pick up this copy. It's just from a news. Something else I have, Moldova is in Northeast Europe. It's the poorest country in Europe. They make about $1,600 a year annual income. And a lot are forced into human trafficking. I met a guy at the citizenship court in Winnipeg. A church provided refreshments. And he said, do you know what is the number one export for Moldova? I said, no. I mean, in Switzerland, it's cheese or chocolate. By the way, you can buy Swiss chocolate now in Winnipeg, so I don't have to go to Switzerland anymore. He said, sex workers, they moved to Central Europe. I mean, he almost said it like, wow, look what we did. I mean, Canada exports hockey players sometime. Sex workers, this is Moldova. And actually, the leader of OM Moldova, he's a product of the ministry that Moldova started. And that's the strategy. As soon as OM has nationals, we give them the leadership. Here's something called MENA News, which stands for Middle East, North Africa. It describes every country we're working in the Middle East. We don't publicize too much with people and countries because this is very sensitive. But that gives you an instruction, introduction to the countries. And Operation Mobilization is one of the very few or the only mission that works in Israel, both with Jews and Muslim Arabs. And the Arabs are more receptive to the gospel than the Jews. Another one is very similar. It's called Silk Road. That is the countries where at one time they brought the silk from China to Europe. The Silk Road is between China and Turkey. Country like Tajikistan, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, and all these Stan countries where Islam is the predominant religion. Then I brought also some stuff. This is the very last list of short-term mission trips, and I'm telling you, you don't have to be, if you're older than 25, you still can join. Some, it posted, sometime they say you can up to 99. I don't think that's correct. If a field doesn't put an age limit, then it shows up 99. But some is 60, some is 85, some is 35. And we have something too, that you actually can take your children along. We have family mission trips. I'd like to close actually with one story. And by the way, if you didn't got a brochure like this, take one out when you leave church in a few minutes. I heard a story about a fellow from Turkey. He wasn't, obviously everybody is a Muslim there, even if they don't believe. I met a Muslim in Winnipeg and he said, he came from Iran. And like jokingly, I said, how often do you go to the mosque? Oh, I'm not a, I don't go at all. I'm an atheist. So you can't be a Muslim and an atheist. So that Muslim from Turkey, he was not an atheist, he was an alcoholic. He abused his wife. And then he worked somewhere else, and I don't know why in the world he went on a pilgrimage to Mecca. There's a few days on the road. And the last night, instead sleeping in a tent, he slept under the sky. And he had a vision. Do not go to Mecca. Go home and believe in Jesus. And just like that ISIS guy, he had a vision. What often happens, and I mentioned that around the kitchen breakfast table this morning, these visions that Muslims have and the word of God works together. I knew another story also from Turkey where a lady was in a terrible car accident. She was an atheist as well and a Muslim. She had a vision as well, and Jesus appeared to her also in a dream and said, nothing will happen to you, anyone in your car. And the car was a total wreck. Nothing happened to anyone in the car. And she mentioned it to her friends and said, oh, I had that strange vision about the Jesus. I have no clue who he is. And they said, oh, you're crazy. No, that doesn't happen. Then 2 weeks later, that lady in Northeast Turkey opened a newspaper. And guess what? She found an advertisement for Bible Correspondence Course. And she phoned in right away and she accepted Jesus Christ over the phone. So here you see a vision that people have for Jesus, from Jesus, and the Word of God. That goes hand in hand. It's not, oh, I have a vision, but it's a vision together with the Word of God. I heard an amazing story. A guy in Jordan was on the way to the airport. He was training ISIS fighters in Syria from Arab Peninsula. Do you know he had a funny question for the cab driver? And the cab driver happened to be a Christian. He said, where can I find a Bible? Wow. Oh, I know someone. He can give you a Bible. So he drove them to that guy. And the guy asked him, why do you want a Bible? And do you know what that ISIS trainer, imam, a teacher said? I'm fed up with Islam. And these are stories here and there, even in our own country. I know a church in Winnipeg, they had a baptism of 4 people. 3 of them are former Muslims in our own country. Wow. I know him quite well. I'm in touch with him. It's a Mennonite church, but that isn't a matter. God is reaching out to Muslims. That's why John 3:16, I believe, God so loved the world, not except these and that. And we can be involved. We saw in the video to pray, give, and go. But some of you say, I cannot go. And perhaps some of you who are even older than me, I said, yeah, but you can pray and give. Because if you do not pray and give, then people who are willing to go are not able to go. And so I would encourage you very much with a sister who goes to the Freedom Climb to support her, to support projects. And pick up that article from Czech Republic. Czech Republic is one of the toughest areas when it's come to human trafficking in Europe. And you could be shocked. Sex trade workers still work 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. They're forced. They're slaves. That's why we talk sex trade slaves. Let's close in prayer. Our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that my desire is that you are Lord of my life, that you are the center point of my life, and nothing else matters. And God, help us to overcome these things that suddenly become more important than you. Like who will win a sports championship, or in 20 years, we don't remember anymore who was that. But that you are the center, and that you put this in very practical ways in our life, that we are perhaps not in a position to go, even not positioned to climb the Rocky Mountains this coming summer, but we can give our gifts to your sister and encourage her and many more, that people will be able to set free, like the people in Prague, the people in Vienna, in Turkey, in Greece, in Mexico, around the world, in our neighborhood, in our cities, that they be set free. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And I'm back, and if you have any questions, I'm here. I'll be back in Winnipeg when I'm back. Thank you very much. I have a closing hymn.